Now, time to preview round 11 in the NRL. And joining us, as she does each and every Thursday, Von Sampson from Fox League. How are you, Vonnie?
Oh, good morning, gents. How are you?
Morning, Von.
Well. Very well.
Oh, so nice to listen to you. I get up at 5:30, kick off my morning with you. It's beautiful to be with you.
Great stuff, Vonnie. Now, let's start.
Jeez, you're right there, mate. Oh, wow. Jeez, he was happy with that, Vonnie. He's still asleep, Vonnie.
Did you miss the part when Vonnie said, I wake up at 5:30 to listen
you're
to your voice?
You're supposed to go, oh, thank you, Vonnie. That's exciting.
We're clapping in here, Vonnie.
I'm not going to lie, right. Vonnie. I'm half watching the Liverpool
situation. Yeah, get your head out of that screen, would you?
Come on.
Will, come and turn this off.
I'm having a moment, all right. It's been a long way.
Can you take control of those comments? Loz?
Thank you for those comments, Vonnie.
Oh, that's good to know I'm amongst friends.
Oh, Vonnie, appreciate it. Always. Now, Vonnie, so much news as always in rugby league land, but something we haven't touched on so far this morning. Trent Barrett finally confirmed, as we knew it was going to be for the last week, 3-year deal at the Dogs, but he won't be there until the end of this season, when he finishes his role as assistant coach at the Panthers.
Yeah, T-Baz finally, as you mentioned, confirmed at Canterbury Bankstown. Their CEO, Andrew Hill, said they wanted to move quite swiftly because they believe that T-Baz is definitely part of the future of rebuilding, you know, what was once a mighty a brand of a club and a very successful club in its own right. So, you know, Trent Barrett, as you mentioned, Loz, a couple of weeks ago, he had a bit of drama at Manly, and he said he's definitely learnt a lot of lessons from that. But signing a 3-year deal at the Bulldogs, as you mentioned, beginning at the next year in 2021, I think he will be a great fit, and I know that he's very confident. He's got a great relationship with the players. You can see how proactive he is in the coaches' boxes each and every week for the Panthers. Now, I don't know, Loz, what's the protocol in a coach's box? Is there any sort of hierarchy as to where you can sit? Because Trent seems to be front and centre, closest to the glass, taking notes, and sort of Ivan's, you know, just a pace behind, you know, sort of overseeing everything. Is like a special unspoken hierarchy about who? I mean, I'm not going to ask you about who gets to sit in what chair, because that's...
that brings back awful memories, Vonnie. awful memories.
I'm going to have to bring it up on YouTube again.
Oh, please. I'm a sensation on YouTube. But no, I don't think there is, Vonnie. But some coaches like to deliver their messages, but other coaches like to give it to their assistants because they can translate it a lot... they can translate it more calmly, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So sometimes as a coach, you can pick the walkie-talkie up and just let rip. Whereas sometimes if it gets translated by the assistant, it's not as harsh, I could say that. And I think that's what some coaches do. They give the assistant the opportunity to pass on the message, and then it's a bit more clearer. And they understand it a lot better than what a coach might do when he's emotional.
Oh, I love that explanation. Mm. I mean, compare that to the scenes with Craig Bellamy where there's like streaks and spit all over the glass. It's like a horror show. It looks like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Can only imagine if Bellyache was on the microphone up in the coach's box to the people downstairs, they'd be going, I can't understand what he's saying.
Imagine that message coming out onto the field.
Loud and clear. But this year has been like the Hunger Games for coaches. It's bizarre because I thought with everything, with the premiership under threat, with the code's existence and survival under threat financially with the shutdown of COVID, I thought that clubs just financially would just lock it down and, you know, just sort of get through best they can this season. But it seems to have turned the blowtorch on almost every, like half of our coaches through this competition. So, I mean, great pickup for T-Baz. I'm glad that he's back in the top job. So, looking forward to see what he can do for the Bulldogs.
Vonnie, what have you made of the Paul Green situation? We've got some different opinions in here, and I'm just wondering if you've heard anything through your connections at Fox Sports. Has he been in talks with the likes of the Broncos?
He's definitely interested in, different to Trent Barrett in the sense that Paul Green has runs on the board. So he will be, he's definitely not done being a head NRL coach. I think he would love to be the next Broncos coach. But you're hearing all sorts of weird things. Like, you're hearing that Wayne Bennett would like to go to the Cowboys just to stick it to the Broncos. You know, you're hearing that Kevin Walters is very, very close in the mix for North Queensland. We know that he was in the top four back in, you know, about 2013 when Neil Henry was sacked. And he made that top four, and that was along with Trent Barrett, Brad Arthur and Paul Green, who eventually got the gig. Kevy was all but promised the Broncos gig before they hired Seibold after Wayne Bennett. You know, I think he's got a handshake agreement there. So, look, you hear a lot. The decision to get rid of Paul Green was a very, very sudden one, and I think caught everyone on the hop just a little bit. Because last time we heard out of the club that they were going to put some support structure around him and fund some really good assistant coaches. Because as you mentioned, Loz, a different voice does go a long way in communication and getting those messages across. But look, he was given his marching orders pretty quickly, and then all of a sudden it's out. But Paul Green will definitely surface somewhere. You know, whether that's the Sharks, we heard Sean Johnson, not so much. He's not really interested in chatting about all the speculation. We know that Shane Flanagan has been quite open about his desire to go back to the Sharks and the Shire one day, so he lives in the area. So, look, it is a very murky area. It's quickly changing. There's information flying everywhere. But we will definitely see Paul Green spring up somewhere.
Vonnie, with both the Broncos and the Cowboys, and you know Queensland better than anyone, and you know what they think up there and you know how much they love their rugby league, but both of those positions, the Broncos coach, Cowboys coach, does it require the best Queensland credentialed coach?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I think it's very similar to when the Knights were looking for their coach, remember, and they said we needed a Newcastle person. Same thing applies for Queensland. There is something about it that they like to have that connection, that history, that authenticity, that DNA, whatever you want to call it. They do like to think that it is one of your own and to understand the machinations of what are essentially one-team towns. In Sydney, it's a very different environment in terms of media and, you know, business decisions and corporate sponsorships and the way clubs operate. Whereas one-team towns like the Broncos and the Cowboys and the Titans to a large extent, they go about their business in a different kind of way, and it sometimes it does take someone to understand those inner workings. For Queensland, we might have a bit of a problem brewing though, because the front page of the Courier Mail today is that Queensland are considering shutting its borders to Sydney siders entirely. So that's because we had 16 new cases of COVID in Sydney, in New South Wales yesterday, and obviously Victoria had about almost 500. So we've got six games in Queensland over the next fortnight. So the Queensland Premier is really disappointed. She caught, you know, a couple of hundred people trying to sneak across the border illegally. They found a van full of Victorians, you know, it's like trying to get across the border. They found a bloke inside a boot of a car at Sandthorpe. So they're really paranoid, and you can understand why. So I don't know what flow-on effect that is going to have for our competition. But if they, I mean, we're talking about the Queensland clubs, if they close those borders, I don't know what we will have to do, whether another relocation is on the cards. But, yeah, certainly very, very strange times north of the border, my lovely home state.
Vonnie, I find it hard to understand why Kevy Walters, the Queensland coach, can't get a gig, whether it be Cowboys, Broncos, whatever. If you're good enough to coach Queensland, and everyone you speak to about Kevy says he's a great fella and an unbelievable coach, if he wants the Cowboys job, now it's available, how does he not get that?
Yeah, a lot of people are with you, Clarkey, because Kevin Walters is one of the most well-respected people, not just in Queensland, but in rugby league. He has had a lifetime in the game. He grew up in Ipswich. He's a six-time premiership winner. He's a former captain of the Brisbane Broncos. He's a magnificent man to have around in terms of he's very emotionally intelligent. He understands what it takes. So they talk about being a man manager or getting the best out of the bloke beside you. Kevy is magnificent at that. And look, if he is offered the North Queensland Cowboys job, Queensland Rugby League Chairman Bruce Harcher said, look, we will no doubt look at releasing Kevvy from his Maroons duties because he's just been extended till 2021 as the Queensland coach. But if he does pick up an NRL gig, they will obviously look at that situation. But
could he not do both?
Oh,
I think it's
just
too hard.
Yeah, we used to, but it just, I mean, Loz, you'd know, the workload is just outrageous.
Yeah, in particular the NRL stuff, all your focus would be on the NRL and then it'd be a side gig. And there's more to just coaching the Origin side. There's the pathways programs that you have in place. You know, you've got to be, you know, working with the 16s, 18s, the 20-year-olds as well. You've got to be constantly giving feedback to the players. If you're a head, first grade head coach, how do you do all that? You just wouldn't have the time in the day to be able to do it. If you didn't worry about the pathways and you just coached the Origin team, maybe. But I think the Origin job now includes all of the pathways and the promotion of the game as well, of State of Origin. You know, if New South Wales or Queensland want you to go here and there to promote the game, they've got to have access to you to do that.
Now, Vonnie, imagine being 16 and seeing your face on the back of, you know, newspapers across a couple of states, being talked about on talkback radio, being offered ridiculous amounts of money across a couple of codes. How would you handle it?
Oh, wouldn't it just be a mind-boggling experience? You're obviously talking about Joseph Suaalii there. We're hearing Rugby Australia has offered him a three-year, $3 million deal, which is just incredible for the Rabbitohs juniors. 16 years old, as you said, he turns 17 next month. Now, the problem is he can't play NRL until August next year when he turns 18, but far and away, all the experts and Loz, I heard you talking about him earlier, they say he is ready for NRL. He is one of the most gifted athletes we've ever seen. But the conundrum is that do you take the $3 million on offer from Rugby Australia, which I just have to say, I don't know, they say it's being backed by sort of wealthy third-party conglomerate, but Rugby Australia is in $20 million debt. So I don't know if that money actually exists or whether they will be able to honour such an incredible amount to Joseph Suaalii. South have offered him a 1.7 three-year deal, so it's, you know, basically half of it. Russell Crowe has hosted Joseph and his family up at his property at Mount Glen, just trying to get him across the line. But Tim Horan, as we know, former Wallaby and Queensland Red, he's saying that rugby offers more than just the cash. It's the opportunity to play for the Wallabies and the prestige that goes along with that and travelling around the world. And he had a bit of a dig at the NRL saying, you know, it's better than running around Wollongong and Campbelltown week in, week out, which I thought, you know, that's, you can leave that bit out because I think in terms of a career and professional satisfaction, you've definitely got to, I mean, this is a life-changing decision, but you've got to weigh up what makes you happy. Joseph comes from a large family. One of his siblings is, you know, obviously needs a little bit more special care. So money is tight in the Suaalii family. So you could never begrudge him for taking such a huge offer that would change his life and that of his family's. But yeah, it's very interesting and it's a huge conundrum for a 16-year-old to have.
The other big story is Adam Fanua-Blake makes his comeback this weekend. And I don't know why there's all this secrecy about did he get an injection or not. No one seems to know whether he did or didn't, but all we know is he's on the plane up to North Queensland.
Well, I know. It's very strange. And I don't know why they wouldn't commit either way. We spoke to DCE after that incredible performance they had over the Eels, and we said, well, look, you've got Adam Fanua-Blake. He's back from his suspension next week, which is this week. Heading up to Queensland, is he going to be right to play? And DCE, which was quite funny by him, he said, look, I'm going to follow him around with the flu shot and jab him when he's not looking and, you know, get him while he's asleep. So you're right. The Seagull said, look, we respect his personal beliefs and his decisions, but the fact of the matter is Adam Fanua-Blake has been cleared by the Queensland government to travel to Townsville, but they wouldn't elaborate on whether that means he's had the flu shot or not, or whether he's actually had to back down. Look, you would imagine, I think he's probably had the flu shot because I don't know like whether he's got special permission from Anastasia Palaszczuk. Look, stranger things have happened. But you're right, it is funny how it's just a very dead house, I think. Give him nothing.
I don't see the big issue, but whether he gets it or not, we know he's going up there. And I, anyway, I don't know what you get out of trying to hide something
One thing's for sure, Loz, it will come out in this world. That's for sure.
But here's the thing. If we do get a vaccine for the coronavirus, are the anti-vaxxers not going to take it?
That's the other good question, isn't it? You know, of course you're going to probably put your hand up. I know I'll be putting my hand up for it.
Bizarre.
100%. And finally, you can just wait and sort of hear the bubbling rage from everyone who's not a Roosters fan should Sonny Bill land up back at Bondi.
Unbelievable. This is such a Phil Rothfield special. I absolutely love it. To hear that Roosters Supremo Nick Politis and Sonny Bill's manager, Coda Nasser, had a nice powwow at a restaurant in Botany Bay. Now, I for one, look, I'm not a Roosters fan, so I really don't mind. But to have Sonny Bill Williams back in the competition for the last sort of six-ish weeks, they're saying, of this minor premiership, and then, look, if it's the Roosters, they're definitely playing finals. So we could see SBW for the next 10 weeks of 2020, which is pretty exciting. In there somewhere, he's got a fight with Paul Gallen and Barry Hall and all this sort of stuff. But he has been released by the Super League club, Toronto Wolfpack. We will know in the next 48 hours whether this is a go or not. I don't know. I'd like to see. It's just a talking point. People are giving him grief about, oh, well, the game's changed and he'll be left behind. Who cares? It's Sonny Bill Williams. Just let him play. It's a good story. It's good for ratings. It's good for just the drama of the competition. So I'd love to see Sonny Bill back.
Yeah, so do I. And I think there's only two clubs that he'd be a good fit at. I think one's the Warriors. It's that good link, you know, being a
Wouldn't
Kiwi boy and going back and helping the Warriors. Yeah. I think that's a good storyline. And the other one is the Roosters. You know, he's had a lot of success there. He's got a good relationship with Nick Politis. And if he thinks that he can contribute to them winning three in a row, and it just adds another page to the legacy that,
what about
that
this
is Sonny Bill.
What about Sonny Bill calls Nick Politis and Nick Politis tells him he should go to the Warriors?
I don't think Nick will be doing that.
Well, Clarkey tried
Nick
to recruit him to the Tigers.
The
what do you mean try? Don't worry about the Tigers.
Are you going to give us the scoop?
Don't worry about the Tigers. We're in talks.
Well, where's your third party? Where are
they? I told you we've got a third party.
All right.
We just keep that between me and you, Uncle Laurie.